Hello and welcome back. This is episode 43 of the Epic Epoch Podcast. I'm your host, Perry the Pig. With me, as always, is my co-host here, Dread. Dread, welcome back.
Hello, this is Dread. And today we have a very special guest today. We have Snap, who is a big grouper from Path of Exile. If you are from Path of Exile, you'll know him from MP's group specifically. Snap, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
I play a lot of ARPGs. I stream like League Stars, that kind of thing. I'm primarily known for group play type stuff, like, you know, the big Fiesta, six man parties, you know, four man parties in Last Epoch in this case. That's kind of what I do. I have fun playing with friends and I enjoy, you know, exploring all of the stuff that party has to offer. And that's kind of the thing that I do.
So I know, like, from the world of Path of Exile, back when I was playing a couple of years ago, I feel like every loot explosion that I've seen in like the first 24 or 48 hours of a League, it's just like you, Empy, and the group just like making absolute nonsense happening. And like, I to me, the whole extravaganza with, what did Empyrean say? Like, life's not fair. Like, that feels like it happened yesterday in terms of like what happened like the last time I played Path of Exile. But the reason that I wanted to bring you on the podcast today is like talking about not just Path of Exile, but that party play dynamic. Because Dread primarily plays solo, and I also primarily play solo. And the same reason that we tried to split up, one of us ended up going for Merchant's Guild, one of us went COF, to have like a different opinion in there. Well, we don't have anyone who's really been min-maxing the most of multiplayer. And I feel like you're a great place to start with that. So I guess, how did you prepare for multiplayer? Like, have you been playing Last Epoch before? Was this your first time playing Last Epoch? What resources were you learning? Like, what were you trying to do to break the game?
This is not my first time playing Last Epoch. Actually, you know, I've been kind of eyeballing the game for a long time, of course, because, you know, I'm in the ARPG sphere, but the first time I really like dove into the game was actually the 0.9 release, right? The multiplayer release, because, you know, that's kind of what I do. I like playing with all my friends. So 0.9 was kind of like the perfect time to jump in for me personally. And, you know, as you may know, the 0.9 release was a little rough around the edges, and it, you know, in terms of connectivity and, you know, usability for party. But honestly, I can say it's come a long way. And I think in 1.0, you know, past the first couple of days of server issues, I actually think it's quite a good experience. There's still a couple of things to improve, but I think it's actually in a pretty, you know, functional state right now. It's pretty good.
Thank goodness, man. I see people on social media saying like, is like, can I play multiplayer? Can I play multiplayer? Can I actually play with my friends? Like, how is the multiplayer experience? If you're having fun, like, fun is the most important thing when it comes to like balancing stuff or server stuff, like video games. If it's not fun, I don't care about anything else. So if you're having a good time, that's great.
Once you actually get to play the game, it's great, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a couple issues, you know, from some meta system perspective where like you're not sharing corruption. That's like a big thing I can point to that might dissuade people from playing in party play. But honestly, like when you actually get all in the same monolith and you're all like running around and, you know, mapping or doing the monolith clears, it's actually quite fun and it's very smooth. But like the hardest part is getting everybody into the party. There's some like crashes and disconnects that can happen. But once everybody's in there, it works great, works flawless. So no performance issues. I mean, maybe a little bit, but for the most part, it's manageable. So
before, it's significantly better.
Oh, yeah.
Thank God it's significantly better. Like when people ask me like, how is multiplayer? I have nothing to tell them. Like, listen, man, I don't have friends. I don't party with people, but to hear that it's good, you know, I did want to like circle back to talking about what you did before the League launch, because when I played Path of Exile, I loved preparing for League start. I loved the indecision, like what build am I supposed to play? What should I do? Like what's the hot new idea that Ziz just came up with? And that was really enjoyable to me, like sitting on POB and just like mapping out all these different ideas. So for you, like this 1.0 really feels like the very first time that we've had people preparing for a League start 1.0. like there's a market economy, some people want to like get in on ground zero, make the most money as possible. Like what were you doing in terms of like player power, and what were you doing in terms of like, here's how we're going to spend our time, we're going to generate money? Because I'm pretty sure you went Merchant's Guild as well.
Yeah, I mean, for us, you know, we're the type of players we are. We're just going to go Merchant's Guild. That's kind of the thing that we enjoy. We enjoy like the market economy. We enjoy the blasting. And we're definitely like bingers in that regard. We're just going like super hard for, you know, a week, 2 weeks. And then, you know, we kind of pull back the hours a little bit after that. But in terms of our preparation that we do, right? You know, we before the 1.0 launch, you know, I had done a lot of research on like, you know, what kind of builds we were wanting to play. And basically it was just kind of like looking at all of the already established builds and okay, like what is pushing like the absolute highest corruption, right? Because that's kind of like what we wanted to do. We wanted to go super high corruption, you know, try and get as much loot as possible. That's just something that we were interested in doing. And so, you know, I took a good hard look at like all of the top tippy top corruption pushing builds. And then you had to subtract all the ones that are just clearly abusing bugs. You know, and we just kind of landed on Rune Master. So that was kind of the one thing we landed on.
I could have told you that.
So you have to look through all the bugs and like, okay, this build is just a solid build. It has all the stuff going for it. And it's probably not going to be like, you know, super hard nerfed, destroyed. And that's kind of, yeah, it got buffed on the patch, which was surprising. Yeah, it was very surprising. But yeah. And then for the supports, so the preparation for that, like we already had you know, I played a support personally, you know, back on the 0.9 release. So I already knew a lot about like the utility and stuff that Paladin could bring and some other potential things. Supports can bring a lot to the table in this game in terms of like an actual like Aura bot type gameplay. There actually is a lot of stuff that you can do in this game. I think, you know, the developers I know have said in the past, like they don't want characters that are just only providing support and utility, but these characters exist in the game and they are quite powerful. So, you know, if you're looking for an Aura bot type thing in this game, it definitely exists.
So when you describe that, is that like a character that like specifically only does support, they can't do maps by themselves? Or like...
Correct. There's some adjustments you can make to make these characters be able to clear monoliths, at least at like a low level, right? Just some minor adjustments you throw on. Like, for example, you're getting attunement on a paladin. You can throw on a Hands of Judgment, respect a few things here or there, and you can like run around and clear some like low level monoliths for sure. But for the most part, these characters are just purely bringing utility for another character to be doing damage or you know, providing defenses for another character inside the monoliths.
I'm happy to hear both sides of that. Both like there are people out there who don't want to do damage. There's people out there who want to play support and just juice up their partner as much as possible. But to hear you describe, like, you can just trim a little bit off and have like a perfectly fine character, that sounds like a sweet spot. That sounds good to me.
Well, if you want to know about all that, I know Snap has made a few videos about support play in Last Epoch in great detail. So you should, if you really do want to play that kind of build, you should heavily check out his YouTube channel.
Yeah, I mean, clearly there's some interest in, you know, party play supports, that kind of thing, or my YouTube channel just wouldn't exist, right? If there wasn't any interest for that kind of thing, then, you know, I would just wouldn't be getting any content or views or that kind of thing, right? So clearly there's some portion of the the population that is interested in this kind of thing. And I think it is a play style that is pretty cool in ARPGs. And I think Last Epoch does it well, but I think they need to, like, improve on a few things and it'll be good. But right now it's in a pretty good spot.
So... I'm gonna talk about two different things, and I guess my question is gonna be like, how are these things similar and how are these things different for you? Because I've tuned into your stream at two different times, and there were very distinct things happening on the screen. One was pushing corruption. We're like, we're zooming as fast as possible.
Oh, you watched him play Arena? Oh, God.
And then I watched you play Arena, where you just stood still for 2 hours. So could you talk to me about the differences between like multiplayer and group play in those two different scenarios?
Yeah, I mean, monoliths specifically, it's kind of nice that there's the warp feature, right? There's a little button on the portrait in the top left when you're playing in a party, and you can click it as many times as you want, and you can basically instantly teleport to any of your party members. This feature is incredibly nice, and honestly, it's very strong.
Stop, you're going to get it nerfed. There's going to be a cooldown on it.
The reason for that is because you can have somebody that has a lot more mobility than you, such as a paladin with shield rush, right? And he can fly through the monolith. And then you, as somebody who doesn't or hasn't built very much movement speed and maybe has used that opportunity to build more power, you can just simply teleport onto somebody who's faster than you, right? And so you can basically increase your clear speed of the monolith a lot just simply by that fact. Right.
The most interesting usage I've seen of you guys using that is like when you guys need to go slam a bunch of items in Temporal Sanctum, you guys all just sit at the door and just have one runner run through the Temporal Sanctum and then get to the next door and then you just teleport to them. I think that's the most entertaining use of that.
That just sounds like good quality of life at that point. Like Temporal Sanctum.
I mean, it is.
Yeah. Make someone the bitch runner, you know. Woo.
Make someone the movement speed runner. Yeah. Good.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
We take turns. So like one person is running the sanctum, right? Well, it's your turn to run the sanctum, and then they go and run it, and then it's okay, I need to take a break, and then somebody else runs the sanctum, and then you just warp to them. So it's kind of nice in that regard, but
so yeah. Like three people are drinking coffee and one person is, you know, gaming. Sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, for Sanctum, right? It's like a mini break, right? Nobody wants to run Sanctum over and over again. It's a little bit arduous.
You can metagame that even more and make the Sanctum Runner guy be the guy who can phase through the doors with a movement skill, right? With like Flame Rush or something.
Yeah, sure. And then to circle back on your point about Arena, I mean, right now the Arena gameplay for us in our four-man comp is just Healing Hands, right? I'm sure, as you know, Healing Hands, very good skill, might not be intended that it scales with healing effectiveness, allegedly. And, you know, when you have three paladins that are just standing in a circle giving you all of that ward, you can face tank a lot of stuff. Our defenses failed at around 2150. That's when we just started dying to Gorgons. But for the for the whole rest of it, we were just kind of standing still, getting tons and tons of ward from the Healing Hands. And then, yeah, I had a rune master that was doing Antipode of Mesembria. It was a big bomb sucking everything in onto one spot. And then the antipodes were sucking everything onto one spot, which was then we had three paladins casting Volatile Reversal. And as you know, Volatile Reversal, very strong ability. And
it stacks.
And
stacks.
So, you know, when you have three people doing that, the damage just skyrockets. And yeah, it's really crazy stuff. So
using Anomaly to stun them, right?
Yeah, and we had anomalies to stun them. Like, there's tons of utility that you can do in a group. I think there's a lot of cool stuff in the game that exists as it is. The one problem that I think in party play that I can point to is CC. Being able to stack CC the way it is right now in party can trivialize bosses, and to a lesser degree, solo players can do this as well, right? Just the CC layering and just kind of trivializing a lot of mechanics. I think it's very strange.
The first time we saw that. So like we're about to start a build contest on my stream. It's like, see all the cool stuff that you can do with Tempest Strike. But we've done a build contest in the past with cooldown recovery speed when it first got introduced to the game. And I remember one of the things that you were chatting about on your stream was like, belts are garbage in your opinion. And you think the only stat that matters is tier 7 cooldown recovery speed, because it enables so many different things in party play, just having your buffs up all the time. And like the very first thing that people were thinking about with cooldown recovery speed is like, you know, if you build that here, 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 and here, and here, and you just use snap freeze, you can perma freeze every boss in the game. It's like, well, that still exists right now today. Yeah, maybe CC is strong.
There's actually more than one skill that can do this. Anomaly is one of them. Shield Bash, I'm sure, can get there. Primalist, actually, with the Roar, comes just shy of being able to perma-stun stuff, because it has stun duration idles and a guaranteed stun on Roar. And there's just so many abilities that stun and so many ways to scale it that I think it's a real problem that right now you can just kind of CC everything. So, yeah.
Is that a problem in, like, high corruption? Is that a problem in Arena? Is that only a problem in multiplayer? What do you think?
Well, currently it's a problem everywhere. Solo players, I mean, with Snap Freeze specifically, you can just hot swap an amulet, and with the minimal amount of CDR investment, you can still basically perma-freeze everything. And then, you know, as Dredd said, the Shield Bash, like, that's definitely something you could do for Shades, right? Because you don't want to die. Breaking Shades or Gazes is really bad. So hot swapping is definitely worth it in that case. And I think that's going to become more and more of a problem, you know, as the game progresses and gets bigger.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I thought this was all going to be fixed by 1.0. I was like, oh, they're so not going to leave like the infinite CC in the game. They're so going to rework it by 1.0, right? That's totally why they've been taking so long, is because they're fixing things like that. And I was like, big fat.
But like, the game is fun. The game is functional. Oh, yeah. The servers were like.
Yeah, so, don't get me wrong, that's fine. Yeah,
we just got raided by Last Epoch Games. Like, we know that Judd was over there chatting up about all the QA stuff going on with EHD right now. They've said in the past that they really feel like Last Epoch is going to hit its stride in like 1.1 or 1.2, not 1.0. So like, to me, there's some point in the future, maybe like 6 or 9 months from now, where like these things will be addressed. That's still what I'm waiting for. Like, 1.0 is great, I love it, but I already do have something else to look forward to.
Yeah, I mean, I'm having a blast. I had a blast playing 1.0, I'll be honest. And I played it longer than I play most PoE leagues at this point. And, you know, I could see, like, the vision, right, in 1.1, 1.2, when they start adding stuff in Monolith, like various activities and new bosses and stuff like that, it's going to be really, really awesome. I think that there's a great foundation, and I don't have a ton of negative stuff to say about the game besides the obvious perma CC, like this kind of thing, right? Probably shouldn't be in the game.
Yeah, so it's kind of funny whenever that comes up, the most interesting, like, like way of combating it I've seen so far. And this is like the one time in like 5 years now I'll probably praise Diablo 4. And it's going to be the way that they handle CC on bosses, where it's like a threshold,
yeah,
instead of like that seems way more fair than what we have right now. Like, I think you should be able to freeze a boss eventually if you invest your entire character into freeze and you're just doing freeze rate multi everywhere and you're like constantly hitting him, and eventually he should freeze, but like not instantly with snap freeze, right?
Mm-hmm. So we already have like a little tinge of this in Last Epoch right now, where fear is something that's already been like adjusted. It's like it's been pre-nerfed and it's just good. So fear, you can only fear a monster one time. Like, what if you could only stun a monster one time, or you could only send an enemy to the forward or like the anomaly stunlock thing? Like, stunlock literally says it doesn't work on bosses, and like there's still some bosses that it works on too.
Yeah, it works on everything as far as I'm aware. It just doesn't
actually. Right, there's like one exception. I guess I want to move on to like a slightly different topic, because I think we can segue really nicely into it. And that is something that there's a survey for in Twitch chat right now, by the way. And that is a survey about EHD requesting feedback on mid-cycle nerfs. And I'd like to know your perspective as someone who goes way harder than I have ever gone in a game, because of the like the group play stuff and the really just like the loot explosions that I've seen in every game that you play. So,
yeah, I find this topic super fascinating, because coming from PoE, right, there is a portion of the player base, you know, in Last Epoch that are playing Warlock, and a portion of the player base that is, you know, using Profane Veil, getting tons of ward, like this kind of thing, right? And I don't know what the actual split is of these players that will be upset by the nerfs. I think that it is very easy for us to look at Reddit, look at some content creators that have a really negative opinion of the way EHD is taking this, and say that there aren't players that will be upset when it gets changed. And I think that the survey that they're doing is maybe a really good way for them to get some sort of metric to see like what everybody's opinion actually is, because there's a problem there that they're going to butt up into, right? And that is, what is and isn't a bug in Last Epoch, and how can you as a player determine whether or not something is or is not a bug? And if you invest into that build, or you spend a bunch of money in the Merchant's Guild investing into that build only for you to later discover that it's a bug or wasn't intended, that feels bad as a player. And that's the thing that they kind of have to avoid, right?
Yeah, it's happened a lot over the past 4 years. Even with how hard I try to stay away, like I've essentially become a bug tester, not because of the fact I want to test for bugs, but because I want to make sure that the stuff I put out doesn't have bugs in it, so it's not invalidated later. So by just pure circumstance, I have been forced to test bugs. Like I spent, I think, 8 hours testing Anguish and trying to figure out what is the problem with it, so I could figure out, you know, like whatever, right? Because I invest a lot of time, currency, and favor into the build. I'm like, well, it works some of the time, it doesn't work some of the time, so I'm not going to just waste all of that by just saying, all right, I'm just throwing the build away. So I just spend like a very long time testing Anguish, and turns out you complete an echo, it doesn't work anymore, so I have to rezone every single time I want to do anything. And I was like, then that's the kind of bug testing I end up having to do just because of this fact. What
you're trying to like minimize effort for yourself in terms of YouTube videos. Like you don't want a bug fix to like delete all the videos you made in the past. You want longevity.
Yeah, it would be awful. It would, because it takes a lot of time.
I think for this discussion we can kind of discard bug fixes that benefit the player, right? Because if a bug fix is benefiting a player, nobody actually cares about that. It's the thing we care about is the bug fixes that have some sort of detrimental impact to somebody's build, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know how you as a player can discern, especially in a game as complicated as Last Epoch or as PoE, determine what is and isn't a bug. Like I could look at something, for example, like Volatile Reversal, and it stacks, and nothing else in the game stacks like this, almost nothing. And like, is this a bug? Is it not a bug? And if I invest in a bunch of CDR gear, and then they say, okay, this isn't intended, Volatile Reversal shouldn't stack, and then they nerf it, and it's like, okay, well, that's the situation they have to avoid. And it's a very precarious line that they have to walk, and I do not envy their situation at all.
So we had a solution to this issue up until this patch because the game got too big. But for a very long time, for the past 4 years, there was a section in the Ellie official Discord called Ask the Devs. And we were able to go in there and bug Mike. Be like, hey, Mike, is this supposed to be working this way? And we were able to do that for 4 years. And that was like the main way we've been able to figure out, is this a bug? Is this not? And it's been an absolute invaluable resource to like Ellie's growth as a game, because being able to directly ask a dev like, hey, is this how it's supposed to work? And they're like, no. I'm like, all right, well, I can make a bug report. I swear, Mike, like that poor sweet soul, like he essentially like made Last Epoch into the game that it currently is just by manning the helm and listening to all these dumb like feedback posts and everything in the Ask the Devs portion, just so that I could bug him and ask him if like Anguish is bugged or not, right?
Have you like, have you been to amazing. Ask the Devs ever since 1.0?
I know it's locked. I know it's, it's, I know that's what so I meant much. Up until now. Yeah. It's sad.
What's the replacement? Like, as the game grows, there's not going to be Mike sitting here answering everybody's questions. Exactly.
There probably shouldn't be, right?
Like, so what's the alternative, right? There needs to be some sort of policy, right, that goes forward. And the reason, because in PoE, right, if there's some really strong, crazy thing, as long as it's not like crashing the server, they're not going to nerf it until the end of the league. And it's precisely for this reason that players do not know what is and is it a bug, because the game is so complicated and there's a lot of interactions going on. It's not so much that, you know, there's a really strong build and it's like pushing corruption, crashing the economy. It's just that we as players don't know what is and isn't bugged. And it's really hard to discern that. And I do think that, you know, if Profane Veil gets nerfed and Healing Hands doesn't, there's going to be outcry because Healing Hands is providing all this ward, and then Healing Hands gets nerfed, and then it's the, what's the next thing that people are complaining? Like, I don't know where that ends. I really don't. And that's the thing I'm concerned about, right? It's just not a great situation. And they do need to take a hardline stance, because doing this like wishy-washy thing where they just like don't really maybe know what they want to do is going to cause more harm than if they actually made a decision and say, okay, like, we're doing this. Yeah. Sorry, we're not talking about it, like that kind of thing.
I actually brought this up in a video that, so I heard about the Profane Veil thing not getting fixed, right? I heard about that when Lizard asked in the forums and all that. So I made a video the day before, like the day of the hotfix, but like before the hotfix came out. So I literally predicted it, like all the stuff around the hotfix notes and all that happened that day, right? The patch notes. And in that video, I specifically stated EHG, like, they kind of need to like figure out what they want to do for the game. Like, what do they think is unbalanced? What do they think is like a bug? What do they think is like wrong? And what do they think is right? Like, they have to figure it out, because like, for instance, PoE, if you've ever played PoE, there is a very hard and like line that PoE has had, like GG has had, where they're like, this is what we want and this is what we don't want. And we're like, half the time they don't explain it, which is fine, right? It's fine. There's nothing wrong with that, by the way.
Sure.
Like, explaining it caused way too many problems, as you may well know. And I think that's essentially what they need to do, is they need to figure out what do they want to do. Because, like, for instance, the Healing Hands thing, it's technically not bugged. It's technically, like, it technically doesn't say anything about the healing effectiveness not working with the ward in the text of the skill. So, like, other than oopsies, we forgot to put it in there. Like, it's not bugged.
If you read the skill, it's working as intended.
Yeah.
Yeah, so how am I supposed to know? That's the problem.
And we have precedents of them nerfing the same exact kind of interaction before in the past, with like zombie ward and stuff like that, right? So in theory, if we were to go off what they said in the past, then it is definitely bugged. And like they said, it is. But the problem is, it's been so weird to follow this. Like, it feels like I have to like have a degree in like thinking of what do the devs intend. Like, it feels like it's a class. Like, I have to
have all the historical knowledge of the nerfs.
And the problem is, of late, right? Like, of late, I don't know anymore. I lost all of my ability to divine anything, because there's just been so many awkward changes, like with the Hydrahedron versus the Plasma Orb thing, the thing with the freaking CSC, all that stuff has confused my ability to predict things to the point where whenever anyone asks me, it's like, what do you think? Like, do you think they intended this, all that? I have no clue anymore. I used to have a clue like a year ago. There was a pretty good design philosophy. Like, for instance, Lich is busted. It's getting 40k ward. Let's nerf it. Bam, right? It's like, there's a build that's killing T4 Jirla in 5 seconds. Bam, let's remove it. And now it's like, then they, like, they just nerfed squirrels, right? And then they add Wraithlord. And I'm just like, we were so close to finally being saved from, like, this absurd, ridiculous minion build. And then they add it again. It's the same thing with, like,
comparing those two things, comparing squirrels getting nerfed to the introduction, that's such a good comparison.
It's the same thing with the Shadow Daggers.
I was going to say, it reminds me exactly of that. Because they nerf Shadow Daggers, they nerf the application rate of Smoke
Bomb.
And
then they introduce Umbral Blades.
Yes, that's exactly the same thing. Oh, that's such a good comparison.
That's when all of this started, by the way. That's when all of this started, like, when I stopped understanding.
Yeah, I personally have less of an issue of these kind of things existing, because, like, to me, I think it's actually maybe, then this might be a unique take, that having these really crazy, wacky, busted things in the cycle is actually a positive thing within reason, right?
Like, yeah,
if there's like a really cool new, like the Wraithlord thing, like, this is a really broken minion build, like, it's really good. And, you know, this can be like the really powerful thing for this cycle. There's like a narrative that people can tell about, oh, you guys remember the Wraithlord thing? And then, like, the next cycle, it gets nerfed and something else comes in. And that's maybe what keeps ARPGs fresh. Yeah. And that can contribute to it, right? But within reason, like, if you see the, you know, if you see the Ghost Flame thing and everybody's running around with 10 million ward, like, maybe that's not great.
Well, my problem with it isn't what I feel, because I don't think... Like, obviously, they should take the player feedback into account, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, like, every dev should eventually, like, in a small amount. It's just more like, it always comes down to, what do they want, right? What do they want? Because sometimes, like, I'll be honest, man, I don't know if they know what they want, you know? Like for instance, like that's, like, that's my biggest problem. And it's like, if they don't know what they want, then what's going on? Like, you know? I don't know, Perry, could you, like, explain it in more detail, like, how
what
I feel?
EHG wants?
Yeah, like of late, I just feel like as though I don't know if they know what they want sometimes. Because, like, for instance, like, you know, like the Serpent Strike change, right? Like, like, do they want it to be a
Serpent
Strike
is the worst skill in the game, right?
Yeah,
it's
very close. Yeah. It's very close.
Between
it's
that and what?
Between that, I mean, Cinderstrike is down there too. So, but, like, Cinderstrike at least has some utility, but so is Serpent Strike. But, like, what I mean is, it's like, I just don't know anymore. I used to know back in the day. And I think that's, like Snap said, that's just the game getting more complicated, right?
And, like, 1.0, like, we had a whole bunch of changes all happen at the same time. Something that your question brings to mind, and I don't know if this is going to directly answer your question, but we've talked to members of EHG in the past about, like, how fast. What's a good time to kill for tier 4 Jewelra in the Temporal Sanctum? And, like, I feel like I need to remind people of this because people see, you know, Wraithlord, and people see Dive Bomb killing it in, like, 5 seconds, one hit, you know what I mean? But killing tier 4 Jewelra in, like, 1 minute or a minute and a half is good.
I actually asked Reimer, and he said 1 to 2 minutes felt healthy to
him. I was gonna say, like, you kill it in 30 seconds. Like, 30 seconds is, that's insane. That's really good.
I think that's
good.
Like, the tippity top of how it should be. Yeah. Right. I feel like as though, like, that's fine. I don't know. For coming from PoE land, I don't know how I feel about that. Cause, like, in PoE land, you're just like, you're either bonk, right? Or, like, it takes forever.
Like, to what extent do you want to face tank things? Do you think, there's another topic that I want to get to at some point, but I'm gonna use this opportunity to, like, mention this, not in terms of damage, but, like, tanking stuff. How do you feel about, like, single players tanking the tier 4 Jewelra Blast?
I think with heavy investment.
Like, not every build, but, you know, if you really care for it. This should happen.
You should be able to do it without CFC, but go ahead.
There's a couple skills in the game that just give you insane DR. I mean, Flame Ward comes to mind, right? You can get the Flame Ward DR, and then there's nodes inside of it that give you more DR, and then you can cast CFC, it's more DR, and then you can have Red Rings on, it's more DR. And if you actually have all of that together all at once, the blast only does like a couple thousand, like 2,000 or something. Yep. Like it's not a lot. You can tank that with health, not even ward. So, yeah, I mean, if you have all the defensive layers coming in, tanking it is like completely doable because hits are actually really easy to mitigate in this game, I think. The dots, not so much. That's the real issue, but that's a whole other can of worms, right? The dot issue.
I heard that was something you were complaining about both in the corruption and in the arena. It's like, we have new modifiers, we have new gloves, we have new base types to mitigate damage over time with armor, but still. Yeah.
Well, brutal. I mean, the hit, well, because of the way you can get damage reduction for hits, right? There's just so many sources of it, and it's just multiplying, you know, different sources. There's just so many. And then you look at dots, and it's like, yeah, I can get, you know, the gloves, 24% the armor. Yeah, you can get the amulet, which is another 20%. And then even if you have all this stuff on, I'm sitting on like 6-7k armor. The dots from the Gorgons at 2,000 corruption, which, I mean, that's high, right? But this hitting me for like 20K. And then I see the big boulder dude like slam me and it does like 200. And it's like, okay, that's a little off, like the balance, right? It shouldn't be this big of a disparity between the amount of damage I'm taking from dots versus hits. And I see that as a potential issue going forward just because there aren't very many ways to mitigate it versus hits.
It reminds me of like taking a rogue into Temporal Sanctum, but like the boss fight... I would say the most dangerous part of the boss fight is either the void pool is under your character or like the spinning lasers, which are both damage over time. And as a rogue, you have glancing blows, hit base, armor, hit base, dodge, hit base, and like you get ticked by a damage over time, you just die.
And you die.
And your auto dodge sources, your silver shrouds only works on half of the abilities.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah, I hate taking marksmen into Jirla. You couldn't pay me to do that.
It's crazy. There's this, I mean, they did add sources, but I just feel like it's not enough. And I wish there was more ways to mitigate dots. Some classes have it easy, like Warlock specifically.
Primalist.
Yeah, Primalist got it. And then Warlock has the Profane Veil, gives you armor, applies to dot at 100% value when you're in the pool. Like, it's just crazy. That. And some classes are falling behind in that regard. So that's just something I wish I would be addressed at some point, maybe in a future
patch. They've slowly made it better. Like, for instance, Sentinel now is no longer stranded. They have base types for it, but at the same time, should all Sentinels be pigeonholed into one type of armor, right?
The body armor, yeah.
No, it shouldn't be.
700 armor on it, it's a lot of armor.
I mean, it is, but like, what if I want to use the unique piece of body armor, Perry? Like,
what if I want to use Exsanguinous with 20 armor? So I want to use this as an opportunity to segue again. I'm gonna like go back to referencing some of your streams, Snap, and the feedback that MP left on Reddit after he was done playing Last Epoch with the group, saying like Ward is busted. can I hear you pontificate for a while? Tell me about Ward and your experience in Last Epoch.
So we can separate out Healing Hands, because that's something completely different. Healing Hands is just something else entirely, right? And then. You look at stuff like Low Life and Twisted Heart. I think Twisted Heart is very strong. I don't know if it's way too OP in its current state. I would rather see life-based defenses get like a lot more love than stuff like Twisted Heart eat another nerf. I actually think Twisted Heart is in a pretty good spot right now. I think Low Life might be a little strong, but not like too much. Twisted Heart, I think, is fine. Low Life a little bit strong. And then, Life, just I think Endurance needs like some sort of rework, because right now it's just like there's not a whole lot going on for life-based defenses.
Well, Endurance did have a lot going for it until they nerfed it for no reason. Remember that, Perry?
Like, no, wait, what is this?
Endurance Threshold. Remember when it used to be usable?
No, I don't. Wait. Oh, when they nerfed it numerically?
Yeah, remember that? Yeah, like, remember how they nerfed it because they said it was too strong?
Was it even strong before that point, though?
No.
Okay, good. As long as like we're on the same page. Yeah,
like, so, at least it was usable then, right?
Yeah. So there was a Reddit post about this recently discussing how... if you're building Endurance Threshold as a form of defense, it gives you better like leech, and it makes like your recovery even stronger. which is kind of important because it heralds back to what happened a long time ago with the protection system. And the whole protection system was build as little life as possible so that your recovery was as strong as possible based on the protections that applied to your health. Like, that was a cool system, but, like, that's a long time ago. But basically, endurance is not something that you ever want in gear. Like, even tier 7 stuff, you'd rather just be building, like, other affixes. Like, it always gets in the way of building block chance, for example. But, yeah.
One thing to mention about endurance threshold or an endurance is that a lot of classes already have a lot of DR from skills that you just have for pressing buttons, right? You get some sort of DR. And endurance threshold and endurance multiply against that. And so in a lot of cases, it's actually worse than just getting health. That one post that you're referencing doesn't take into account that you already have a bunch of DR from, you know, skills, right? And yeah. The more DR you have from skills, the worse endurance becomes on, you know, your gear, because it's multiplying HP. Against the stuff, yeah, that you already
HP
have
will
on.
Just be better. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think... Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
So my biggest problem when it comes to this discussion, like, low life, vessel, like, twisted, all these things, right?
The only person in the world talking about vessel is you, by the way.
I know. I know.
The new players who just came into last Epoch within the past month, none of those players are complaining
about
vessel.
That's why I got
stuff.
All my double tier 7s for, like, zero gold.
I hear you. Go on.
I know. So it's always a conversation, because PoE has this too, right? What is the limit for high investment? If I get that 2 LP Exanguinous, I get that 2 LP Last Steps, that 2 LP Frostbite Shackles, all of these items, if I get them all, am I allowed to sit at 20k ward while a high investment life build is sitting at 5k HP? Like, what? Because, like, always, everyone's like, oh, like, low life's OP. It's like, well, low life also takes a lot of investment, technically, right? Obviously, it's gotten a lot easier with MG and all that, right? But, like, in historically, low life was the high investment defensive mechanic, right? That was, like, the idea of it. And my problem is, like, life doesn't have that high investment option, per se. Like, there isn't anything that, like, there's no uniques that just say, like, your HP is better. Like, we had Ravenous Void. You can use Ravenous Void with Ward and Twisted Heart. That's fine. So that's not just for HP. We have, like, Twisted Heart. I mean, not Twisted Heart. I'm sorry. Titan Heart. But, like, that's only 40% increased HP. Imagine if that said 40% more HP. But, and then, of course, it takes the same slot as Exanguinous. Like, for instance, how they've been balancing all the high tier ward items is they've been making them all relics. Like, do you think it's a coincidence that, like, Twisted Heart and Vessel are on the relic slot, right? So if they were to introduce, like, better HP stuff that are high investment, like, they should put them on the chest and the boots, right? So that, you know,
these are the other low-life slots.
I love opportunity cost. Even mentioning Ravenous Void, we've had, like, people who, like, come into Twitch chat, and he's like, oh man, I just dropped Ravenous Wood. What do I use it on? And, like, I get to 2000 corruption and then find a need to be tanky and then start using them. Because before that point in time, Ravenous Void gets in the way of you using other gloves instead. And gloves are a really competitive slot for getting additional damage in your build. And, like, you're going to have enough defense, probably, from other sources.
Yeah, it's interesting, like, in that regard, because no one ever brings up the investment aspect of it, because it's like, well, yeah, of course, and when you get a 2 LP, like, you know, 2 LP Exanguinous, of course it's going to be better than some Joe Schmo sitting at 3k life with, like, random exalteds, but, like, it's just that life doesn't have that investment value that you can put in the same thing.
One thing I want to piggyback off that, I actually really enjoy the ward mechanic as, like, a vehicle to invest into your character. And I actually think it's quite interesting, like, the balance between, like, ward retention and ward generation and, like, this kind of thing. Yeah. Like that dynamic is cool to build around. And while it may be powerful or too powerful, I just don't think that life has a similar mechanic that is as interesting or cool to invest in and play around with than ward. So that's just one thing that I can point out.
That's what endurance is supposed to be, right? That's literally what endurance is supposed to be, and it's not doing that.
It reminds me of protections, and protections are slightly before my time in Last Epoch, but I talked to a lot of people about them. And like the OG Last Epoch players, they'll describe the protection system exactly the way that Snap just described how Ward works. It's a cool system. I like it. It's interesting. It's fun to play around with. But then EHG said, yeah, but it's too much effort. So they deleted it and they replaced it with resistances that we currently have in the game. And it kind of worries me just a little bit. Like everyone's saying Ward's OP, Ward's OP, and the way you're describing it, Snap,
they're
sounds
gonna simplify
like,
it,
like
yeah.
I don't, I really like it. And like, I just played a Blade Dancer. I played a low life Blade Dancer and like, I just built really fair items. And I thought it was really, really cool to build the character and go through that gearing process. And it took a lot of effort to gear up intelligence on a rogue character. And like, I like it. I totally agree with Snap in there. Ward per second is really hard to be busted. We actually have numbers from a dev. I don't know what they are, but we have numbers from a member of EHG saying like what's an appropriate amount of ward for a ward per second based character to be generating. And I, you know, Dredd, it's funny you said 20K. I think 20K was the number. I think 20K is an appropriate number of ward.
The reason why 20K is supposed to be a fine number is because historically, again, the whole point of ward is high EHP, low sustain. You take a big hit, it takes you forever to get to that ward maximum. That's supposed to be the point. And then for life, low EHP, really easy ways of sustaining through
tons of leech.
Busted leech. Mm-hmm. Leech and all that, and health regen is finally starting to get there. It's still not there, but it's starting to. And that's what is supposed to be the case. That's literally supposed to be the case. But the problem is now I think there's just too many sources of ward in general, just sprinkled everywhere. And it's gotten to a point where like, I'll take a hit from 20K and I'll be back at 20K in like a few seconds, healing hands, right? Stuff like that. And like, I think that's the problem is like, it's kind of like, they're kind of starting to give us too many ward options. Like, do you feel like that too, Perry? Like when you saw Rainmaster, they're just giving us too many options. I think like there's too many ways, easy ways to invest into ward. And it's like, it's crazy to me that it's gotten to this point.
The Runemaster, remember, we actually got, there's two websites that I use. There's LazDebugTools.com and there's also Tunk Lab, which is run by Tunk, a member of the community. Tunk Lab has a effective HP calculator on it. And we had to, not bug fix, but update the calculator because in my Runemaster build for Frostclaw, I had too many sources of DR that it didn't fit in his calculator anymore. So we had to make the calculator. We had to change the website to account for Runemaster. Like, that's a lot of damage reduction that you have all of a sudden. It's like having any kind of ward generation there, it's like it just goes on top of, you know, all that DR that's all multiplicative. So what do I feel about that? I like Runemaster was silly because I feel like the proposed nerfs that I had for Frostclaw and for Rowan's Frostguard, the CFC invocation, I would have made those. I feel like you could have nerfed that build, but instead they just randomly buffed it and then didn't really change Rowan Frostguard. But going back to what you said about like leech stuff, like I think a lot of people who say like ward is busted dismiss what leech looks like in Last Epoch, because not, you know, 2 months ago, if you'd asked me like what's your opinion on leech is one of the most busted things in the game. You can leech back your entire health pool really fast. Like, if you're hitting a single target boss, if you have any kind of damage over time going on the monsters behind you, Dredd, you and I talk about, like, do I want to consume all these stacks of bleeds or do I not want to consume these stacks of bleeds? And that's a fun thing to talk about because leech is so, so strong. And, like, ward just doesn't have any leech. And ward per second, if ward per second is your only source of ward, I find it hard to believe that that's busted, even if you have 20.
Yeah, that part's not busted. It's just when you start adding the 10 ward on crit and the 4,000 ward.
Yeah. Ward on like, crit, ward on attack speed, ward on cast speed, ward on monster kill. Frostclaw, like those things tend to get a busted.
And you get, when you cast Frostclaw, right, and you get more ward from that than a high investment Twisted Heart,
like, busted.
It starts breaking down, right? Yeah. And I think this is going to suck, but I think the first step that they could do. I think the first easy step that they could do, like that would fix a lot of these problems, is, you know what, why ward wasn't as busted back in the day, Perry?
I made a video about it, but how about
because it was not working, like it did not work with protections, remember, as well. And it did not work with armor either.
It didn't work with
and
armor?
And now ward works with armor. I think if they made it so that armor is an HP only defense, or you could not stack that armor for ward, I think that would be a good start, because I think that being an HP only thing, like, might start tipping the scales back into HP's favor, because all of a sudden all these ward builds, yeah, sure, you're getting to like 15, 20k ward, right? But you don't have that massive 80% less damage taken defensive layer, or whatever it ends up being, right? And I think that's a good start. I think, like, if they just did that, the problem is a lot of items would stop making sense for like, you know, that, like
that's a big exile.
So that's a big overhaul. But, like, I think that, like, that's the kind of steps they would need to take to do this without nerfing the fun stuff, like Snap just said, because there's a lot of people in the community that just want, I want ward to be capped. I want it to be energy shield, right?
Yeah.
And the problem with that is then, you know, then it's just like, it's exactly how the protections, the resistances came. It's like, oh, we're just PoE now. And I don't want that. There's a very interesting case to be had, though, where instead of the current way that we have it, where it's like ward retention threshold. The way it works is your base amount of ward you can have is based on your max HP. So if I have 900 HP, I have 900 ward. And then if I get retention, that can multiply that modifier. So if I have like 500% ward retention, I can go up to like 35, like five times 900 or whatever.
You're proposing a new system? Is that what you're saying?
I think that's still bad, because like, that's kind of that gets rid of the fun stuff, right? Like that's what ward is supposed to be. Is it's supposed to be fun? But like when Ziggy D made Exsanguinous, like it wasn't meant to be overpowered. It was just meant to be fun, a fun way of building your character, right? And like, you know, show off on stream, like, hey, look, I have no life, right? Like that's what it was supposed to be. And now it's just evolved into this, you know, like insane defensive layer that like beats HP significantly. So it's like, the question always remains is like, do they buff HP or do they nerf ward?
Yeah.
And the problem is, in the future, is that going to be the case again? Because they keep having to nerf ward again and again and again. Go ahead, Snap.
I feel like the best case scenario for ESG is that they can make some changes. And I'm not here to armchair developer, like suggest anything, but I think in an ideal scenario, right, you want to preserve that fun build crafting aspect that comes from building ward, right? The battle between retention and generation is a cool thing to build around, right? And at the same time, I don't think they just want to have like huge slashes to ward across the board, because as a player, that might feel bad. If you are playing Last Epoch and you go to 2000 corruption top end on with your 3LP like top end build, right? And you come back the next season and your build is just straight up weaker, like that feels bad to a degree. And I think they want to try and avoid that as well. And like, yeah, there's some really problematic stuff they need to rein in, of course, but I think like a blanket nerf the ward overall maybe isn't necessarily the answer. I think that life needs a good hard looking at in terms of the way defenses interact with life specifically would maybe be a better route to go down.
Yeah, I would like a more nuanced take. Like, for instance, like how armor is more effective for Fizz than Ellie. Like, they could just make armor more effective for life, right? Like, that could be, like I said, that could be
anything.
Too.
But
anything at this point. Yeah, exactly.
I think we've gotten to a point where we kind of aired our opinions on what's going on. I want to jump off to one of the words you mentioned there, and like, this is going to sound cheesy, but you said the word fun, and a lot of things that I talk about on the stream are just like fun. People ask me like, what build should I play? And it's like, I don't want to recommend a build to you. I want to give you something that's like fun, that speaks to you, because there's a lot of builds in Last Epoch, and like, you don't need to play the most busted thing the first time you log in. So Snap, when you've been playing Last Epoch in 1.0, I want to hear like, what's the stuff that really makes you say, I want to keep playing this game. I want to play it longer than just 1 week. I want to go get my buddy to play this game as well. What's the fun stuff that you've encountered in the game?
I think the gameplay loop in Monoliths is definitely like the thing that is attractive. And I also think like corruption pushing to a degree is like fun. I have some problems with corruption on second characters. It's not something I want to do, but I feel like having like a system that can ramp and I can, you know, push my character and having an incentive to get my character really powerful is something that I enjoy. That's not necessarily the case in PoE. Your character kind of tops out really fast. Like, you can get a character that can clear T16s and do stuff with really some trash gear, but in Last Epoch, I can really focus on like getting every single ounce out of my build and make it as powerful as possible, because the more strong I make my build, the higher corruption I can go. And that's a gameplay loop that I find satisfying. That's kind of like the main thing. And then also, I think the gameplay like moment to moment gameplay in the monoliths, like dodging abilities, you know, the poison tornadoes from the Gorgons are really dangerous, so I have to dodge it, right, and get out of the way, and like it's more engaging than it is in PoE currently. And so I think that's kind of cool. And yeah, like the multiplayer experience is actually fun when it works, and yeah, overall it's a good experience. So I'm hopeful when they add more content. That's like really the thing, right? And they'll get to it, right? Months and months they'll have expansions, and I think it'll be great.
They're gonna have end game pinnacle bosses in 1.1. Something's gonna happen in 2.5 months.
But
hopefully you can't stun them.
I'm gonna put on the David but the problem with that is I'm just gonna put on the David Harbor helmet and farm them.
Hey, it's David, like, go attack this
David
thing.
Harbor.
Or snap freeze it. Yeah, either one.
Yeah.
So what, I'm gonna ask like the opposite question, and I don't want like a feels bad moment here, but is there something that's like gotten in the way of you having fun? Like something that's like clunky? I don't want to talk about like server stuff because server is a really obvious answer. But like what's frustrated you as someone who's like coming in and trying to do all this big stuff?
I mean, one thing that's Merchant Guild specific is being like searching stuff in the bazaar is really horrible right now. And then price checking stuff is also just as horrible. I mean, that's like a whole other topic, but you know, searching for stuff, you can't search for roles, which I think is abhorrent, honestly. Like I can't search for a particular role on any unique or any, you know, item that's, and you have to scroll through pages and pages and pages of stuff to find the thing you want. It's really bad. And I'm sure they'll address that. That's one thing for Merchant's Guild. And the other thing that I found super frustrating was if I want to roll another character, I had some ideas for like a group carry, right? I wanted to like mess around with some Spellblade because I had a really good idea for a build, and I want to try and, you know, take that build to High Corruption, see how it would perform. And I'm immediately dissuaded because I just don't want to push Corruption again, starting from 100 Corruption. And it takes literal 50 to 100 hours of grinding to get from 100 Corruption to 2000, right? And I am not doing that grind again just to like test how that build is going.
I have already played 3 characters, got them all set up, all their blessings done, gotten them to 700 Corruption, which is significantly less, mind you. But I've done that with 3 characters, and now I'm about to do it with a 4th character. And I will say, after about 2 years of doing this, this is starting to get a little tiresome.
I get it's like the main end game loop, but I feel like there should be some form of catch-up mechanic that makes it a little bit faster, because if you think about it, you're going to have better gear than your first time around, whether or not that's you have a bunch of COF stuff in your stash, or you have a, you know, the market, you have MG, you're able to just buy better gear. And like just going to 100 Corruption, you're just going to be smashing it for so long, and you're just kind of dumpstering the content for a really long time when you could be at 500 Corruption on that character quite quickly. And there's currently no way to speed it up, and I find that a little frustrating.
It did make Corruption faster this time around. It did make the level 90 monoliths, God bless, faster this time around.
Yeah.
But even on my subsequent characters, I feel like I feel like I'm whining when I say this, because like it's kind of a small thing in the grand scheme of it, but I think the worst part of the game right now is going from the very beginning of Empower Monoliths from like 100 Corruption up to like 200 or 300. It's like just the very beginning bit before you have like the stability ramping up faster so that you can kill the bosses faster, so that you can get more gaze of Aerobis, so that you can build Corruption. Before you start that little snowball, going from like 100 Corruption to 200 Corruption, that sucks. It's just too slow.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's definitely like the biggest thing in my mind that's like a barrier to making a new character and trying out something new. Because it's like, I just don't want to push up that Corruption again. And I feel like I shouldn't, because my character is capable of it, right? That's the main thing.
Like one of the biggest like things that people will argue when we bring this up, like the one of the main like points against this is, well, if you get to there too quickly, well, wouldn't you like end up not playing the game as long because of that? Because like, you know, you get to the end game and all of a sudden there's no grind to get there. And my retort to that specifically is like, well, when I get to end game in Path of Exile and my Atlas is already filled and I'm all ready to go on my second character, like, does that make me quit the game faster or to like enjoy the game more? Right. I would say it's the latter. Right. And that's like the biggest thing I hear whenever we talk about this is like, well, you know, like the reason why they do it is so that, you know, you play the game for longer. And I'm like, no, it makes me want to play the game less, sir.
Player retention is there because the game is good when I'm playing the game. And to me, the game is like, I'm blasting. I want to blast. Let's go blast some more.
Yeah. I think the Blessing Farm on subsequent characters is plenty enough grind for like a second character, in my opinion. Like, I think is fine.
I wouldn't mind the blessing grind if I could then, you know, once I farm out my blessings, I could then, okay, I can push up my corruption to 500 or whatever, 1,000, like quite quickly, right? It's just, I think about having to do it all over again, and it's like, I cannot just kill these low level mobs for so long just to try and find
like, it's that quit moment, right?
It's the quit moment for me personally. And I imagine to other people, there's to a lesser degree, like whatever, it's 500 corruption for them or 1,000 corruption for some people. And like, that's the quit moment. It's like, I want to make a new character. I have a cool idea, but I just do not want to go through all of that again to try out this idea. And I think that's somewhat problematic.
Yeah, exactly. And if they want to stick with this state, stick with the thing of not being able to respec your mastery, they should make making extra characters easier. Because, like, for instance, if I'm playing like a mage, like I'm playing a Sork, and all of a sudden, If I'm playing a Rune Master, if all of a sudden I want to play a Spellblade for some reason and I can't respec my mastery, it feels awful to level a mage just to try this on Spellblade or whatever, right?
Right, that feels awful. Right.
That's literally my situation. I wanted to try a Spellblade build because I thought, you know, you're generating a crazy amount of ward from Healing Hands. And I had the idea, okay, what if you put on two Humming Bees, you know, that scales with increased damage per ward? I'm like, that's a really cool idea. The damage is probably crazy on it. But unfortunately, I am the host of the corruption in our four-man party. So the corruption is on my account. And I can't have one of my teammates host corruption for me. They're all literally 100 corruption. If I wanted to make a new character, I'd have to go from 0 to 3,000 corruption again. It would take like 100 hours. And so it's like, I what am I supposed to do?
Imagine if it's shared, right? But obviously that wouldn't fix the solo problem.
Yeah, I want to have some way to test out this build without it feeling like a really arduous grind. And that's just one problem I've identified. I'm sure EHG will fix this in the future, I'm sure.
Interesting. I have one more like fun topic that I want to throw on to the very end of the podcast, but we're coming up on about 1 hour here, so I want to open it up. Like, Snap, is there anything in particular that you want to talk about, ask us something, a topic that I didn't put on the sheet ahead of time? What is on your mind about Last Epoch?
I'm really interested to hear your guys' thoughts about COF versus MG at this point after a couple of weeks. I know you guys had like some mini discussion about it last week, but I'm kind of curious to hear your guys' thoughts on like where you think the, like how it stands right now, and just general opinions and thoughts on that.
So let me go ahead and start, because the very first time we talked about this was like 2 or 3 days after launch, and I was playing like a little bit offline. I had like a lot of connectivity issues. And I rerolled like 4 times before I found a character that I really wanted to sink my teeth into. And you were like, one character, go ahead. So you definitely started your Merchant Guild and had your opinion before I did. So as a content creator, I have a unique perspective on COF. I like the storyline. The storyline is wonderful. It reminds me of like playing SSF as a Path of Exile player. Because like, oh, I got this item because I killed this monster. And then I got 13 pairs of boots. And I whiffed all of them until I made the last one. Like, the storyline is really exciting and engaging. In terms of gearing up a character, I could have shortcut all of my gearing by just being Merchant Guild instead. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Because I see Dread, and Dread, on YouTube side, he makes one build every single day. He is nuts with, like, the kinds of gearing, respeccing, experimentation that he does. And he makes build guides for, like, everything, like not only the top end builds, but also the fun builds, and also the builds that look like a cosplay experiment, and also the builds for the one casual person over there. He just does all these things, and like, that's not my niche, but I feel it from my perspective, where it's like, damn, like if I were in Merchant's Guild right now, I could have this pair of gloves in a minute, I could have this pair of boots in a minute, I could experiment with this. So one of the perspectives that I have now is like, if, and I call these people in chat, I call them like build scientists. There are people out there who like don't really care about getting to 3,000 corruption, but they do care about like finding wacky interactions. And like, if you feel like you're a build scientist, you should be in Merchant's Guild, because it makes experimentation way, way easier. I feel like maybe I would like that, but
it's really funny that you have that opinion after watching me, because it is a completely different experience behind the curtain.
Oh,
and I know exactly what Snap knows exactly what I'm alluding to. And I'll be honest, I wish I would have went COF, because goodness God, staring at that UI is going to make me murder someone. It's going to make me murder someone. It's that bad.
It's so good because you get the items you want, but then you just look at the interface and you're like, oh my God.
The last time, I have 600 items listed for sale. Okay. Remember, it's like on that little page. Remember, Snap? It's on that little stupid page. And every single time an item sells, I have to go find it in like the 13 pages of items I have. Why isn't it in the beginning?
You don't want to hear me talk about this. I have over 10,000 items listed. And on the sell page, I have 60 plus pages of items sold. And so when I had an idle sell yesterday and it was on page 62 and I had to scroll through 60 pages of stuff to get my 100K from my idle sale. And it's just like, this wasn't tested. Like literally, and you don't know which page it's on. You literally have to click on the page, scroll down and say, okay, it's not there. Next page. And then you scroll down. It's not there. Next page. And it was on page 62. It's like,
I love what Tiny Pickle Packer said. He said, they got to fix that. And I'm like, dude, that's not the only thing. That's just one of the problems. Like one of the nine. That's untrue.
I would stop playing Merge's Guild immediately. Just kidding. CRM's better. CRM's way better. Just kidding.
With the way that they made the reputation grind and all that, like, I don't want to swap. Screw that nonsense. Like, swapping is a joke. It's an absolute joke. Like, you do not swap. Like, people were asking me earlier in chat when I was streaming earlier. They were asking me, like, hey, I want to try out MG after playing COF. Like, don't. Just don't. Just don't. It's awful. And, like, yes, it is endless storage, but it's endless storage I can't sift through. Now,
yeah,
that is true. You can make endless storage. It is very funny. There are plenty of items that I put up for sale for absurd prices. I'm like, if it sells, if it doesn't, I'll just go grab it later, right? That is definitely has happened. But, it, like I said, it's funny that you, like, see it from the outside. You're like, oh, it looks amazing. And I'm sitting here, like, I'm going through hell every day because I have to sit down playing, like, it's so weird. It's so weird.
Like, listing stuff is also just as annoying. Yeah. I don't know if you saw Perry, but at High Corruption, right, you get really high amounts of favor, right? And you're getting 100. I would literally capped out favor at 999999 because
that's the cap, if you didn't know.
Yeah, you get so much favor. And I was picking up, because I had so much favor, I'm like thinking to myself, okay, I'll just start picking up these T6s because, you know, normally when I was lower corruption, I didn't have enough items I didn't have enough favor to list all the items I was picking up because they're actually quite expensive. But at a certain point that flips, you actually getting way too much favor and not enough items. And so I started picking up literally every T6 item and like just a bunch of idols I normally wouldn't be picking up. And I was just blasting them on the auction house. But at the end of my session of, you know, blasting corruption, I sat there listing items for like 45 minutes and I would click the button. I'd put the item in, I'd click list, I'd click the
price. It makes me miss dump tabs.
Yeah, I would paste the price and I would click list. And I did that for literally 45 minutes. I'm like still not out of items. It takes forever. And I don't know whether or not MG players spend more time listing items than the COF players stand there looking at prophecies. I don't know which one is like more AFK or dead time or whatever. I can't tell.
Yeah, I think it's weird. Like I was saying earlier, like the whole system is weird because the whole bloody concept, right? The whole point of all of this was to reduce the time you spend looking at UI and spend more time playing the game. That's why you have the favor, all that, right? But, like, I feel it's worse. Like, for instance, like, oh, we don't want you to be sitting in the auction house constantly. We don't want you being hideout warriors, et cetera, right? Like in Path of Exile. But I'll be honest, in Path of Exile, I go to the search. I go up the search. I get the item I want. I message a few people. I spend a little bit of time in the UI. Sure, I have to load up a browser. But I spend like 10% of the time in the UI for trade in PoE. And like, but like in MG, it feels like half the time if I want to be efficient, like literally half the time. And it's like, isn't this supposed to not be the case? Like it's like, oh, we don't want you to like sit there and flip and all that. I just sit there having to list items. Like, God forbid there's any server stability that makes listing items take longer, by the way. God forbid that. That sucks. Waking up at like 7 a.m., getting on the computer. I'm like, hey, let me just go list some items. I'm like, list item, loading screen.
Error.
error. Yes. Like
really.
Yeah. Lord. It's like, not great. It's the not great part of MG. It's easy to look at it from the outside, as Dredd said, and be like, oh, you can get some really crazy items. And, you know, it's like La La Land, and you get all the stuff. But then you start having to go through the interfaces and stuff, and you're like, dear God. No,
like the way that it's set up and the way that everything has gone and everything. Okay, my tinfoil hat comes back, and I legitimately feel like as though every single thing involved with MG has been designed with the specific purpose of annoying you so that you don't want to go MG and you want to go COF. Like it's like the devs are like poking you constantly, like, hey, you should join COF.
Do you think that feeling is just not like they're poking you?
By the way,
yeah, I know it's a joke, serious, but do you think that feeling is like them trying to reduce bots and reduce RMT?
I don't know.
I don't think it does anything for them.
You don't think so? Okay, gotcha.
The bots don't care about loading times. The bots don't care about the extra options. Like the bots don't care about any of that. It's the human beings that care about that.
The bots are going to be able to parse it better than humans are, right? You can have a bot that's just able to flip through all the pages automatically, but you're not going to have a dude sit there scrolling through all the stuff. That's just not going to happen for an average player.
The bot isn't going to do what Snap did and spend 45 minutes getting irate listing items. The bot's just going to do that. Like, the problem with fighting the machines is they have no emotions. They don't understand the problems of, like, sitting there, wasting your life, clicking on buttons. Like, I'll be honest, like, I've been watching... So I watched the first season of Bleach, and I set it down because I was busy, okay? I've watched two seasons of Bleach, and I can thank all of that for the Merchant's Guild, just sitting there listing items. It's crazy. It's crazy. It's like insane. It's like the UI is insane, and I'm so tired of dealing with it. But like Snap said, the power is so good that it's like I still do it because it's so good, because I can, like, for instance, that Vessel of Strife character I just set up, it was like sitting at like 9k ward with like 3 LP legendaries and everything, right? It was like the shoot shebang. It was an amazing experience. Guess how much I bought all that for? I swear I probably bought like 4 million gold for a character that probably should cost like 20 million or something stupid like that. And it's literally just because no one's playing health regen right now. I was able to snipe every single double T7 on the market, or double T6. I was just like, yoink, yoink, yoink. Yoink, zero gold. Oh, wow. A 3 LP Azeroth's Fury with, like, max rolls for zero gold? No one uses this? Yoink, yoink, yoink. And, like, it's amazing when, as soon as it's over, as soon as I get back to the monolith, it feels amazing because it feels like you have such a power boost. But the UI...
It'll get there. Do you guys think that the favor specifically, like, how do you feel like the favor, the rate at which you gain it? In COF, Perry, do you have any thoughts on, like, do you think it's too slow or too fast? Because I think for the MG players, the overwhelming sentiment is, like, ranks, like, you get rank 3, and that's where you get unique items. And so you can buy some uniques that enable your build. But then you have a huge trough of, like, ranks 4 through 8, where you just basically just get nothing. I mean, you get unique weapons with LP, but at rank 8... Or 7 is exalted items, 8 is the uniques with LP, and like there's basically nothing in between, and it feels really bad. I think I don't know if there's something similar for COF, or is it
other people have different opinions than me, but I feel like the ranks have been like very good and smooth throughout all of COF. Like I didn't feel like I regretted it at any point, but I still don't. It's just like the one content creator thing that I mentioned previously, the lull comes from like 8 to 10, where like 10 is a lot of perceived power because it's doubling everything, so you get like twice as many chances on your 1 LP boots, twice as many chances on your 2 LP gloves, because like everything's getting doubled. But I think the only thing that I really call out is rank 9 feels a little bad, because it makes the entire set drop, and sets are in a weird spot where like the majority of sets, the best set items are like the low set things, like the Feywar Dagger plus the Feywar Ring, for example. And like
Set items are the ones that are just individually good without
the best set items are exactly that. The ones that are individually good, but like you don't care about the entire set. So like sets are underpowered. Sets are pretty bad as a whole in Last Epoch. But on the other hand, once they address that, because there's no way they don't address that, once they address that, it's gonna feel fine. So like right now it kind of stinks. There's a little bit of a power gap at like rank 9, but I think the whole experience is COF. I'm not really going to complain about it. I'd like to be able to do prophecies in my hideout in the era between time, whatever that zone's called. If I can do prophecies there, I'd call it like pretty good. I like it.
You get lenses at rank 9, right? That's like the one thing, your last lens.
Yeah, you get plus one lens there, yep.
And then,
yeah.
So like in MG, rank 9 and 10 are functionally worthless. I mean, for the most part, you can buy, I guess, Weaver's uniques that have been I've already done that. Incubated.
That's the only but thing. Yeah.
Ranks 9 and 10 are functionally worthless, so you're done at rank 8. So maybe you like top out a little bit earlier, but how's the grind of like rank 9 and 10? Does it feel like it's a lot, like too much? Or
it bugged and then bug fixed, so I don't have good, you know, because the experience doubled it. All the experience tomes that were dropping on the ground, like that was really nice for just like zooming up to like level 100 and zooming up at the ranks. I don't know how it feels because I haven't made a fresh Steam account since then.
So I have been, like I said, I've been playing a lot and I've been sticking around 700 corruption, which is like around where I would say the average tippy top player would be around. You know, anything a little bit higher, sure, right? And I think it's been a pretty healthy balance. I'll sit down, I'll blast for an hour. I'll get to 100k favor if I focus on XP tomes. It's great. Then I go to the MG, I list a bunch of items, and then I go back and playing. The favor to the item and everything ratio, I think, is fine. Like, I think that part is fine for me right now in MG after getting to rank 10. It, like, that part has been fine, like you said, but like, I don't know how it is in COF, obviously, but like, it's felt healthy. Like, it feels like as though. Like, it feels weird. Like, in the normal amount, like, it does feel healthy when you're not getting a billion favor per map or whatever. Like, it does feel somewhat healthy. Like, the difference between being in maps and being in MG. The only reason why staying in MG takes so long is because of the UI and how bad it is, right? Like, if it wasn't for the UI, I think it'd be fine and healthy, at least for me, anyways, my experience so far.
Now, you're not the trader in the group for MP in Path of Exile, are you?
We have a dedicated trader. Yeah. Most people don't know this, but we actually have a 9-man team playing with us in PoE.
Yeah, like all the people are still saying that.
There's six players like in the map. We have a full-time trader who's like there 24/7 with us, and then we have like two, whatever, like half traders. They just kind of pop in. They're like playing their own character, and if we need extra help, they're there if we need them.
What are your thoughts on like the choice of EHG to have gold being the primary thing you trade with? Has that been like a discussion for you? Because I remember like one of the first things that I really fell in love with Path of Exile is like they didn't have gold. It was all crafting materials, which is like the perfect gold sink because you just craft with them.
We should probably talk about the gold to corruption scaling real quick before we get into this.
Sure, that's a good one.
Yeah. So
we were told before launch that gold will no longer scale with corruption by Mike. That was a literal either straight up lie or it was
probably a bug. I don't think Mike's gonna lie.
So you want to explain how much gold you've been gaining at higher corruptions there, Mr. Snap?
Yeah, I mean, we're at 3k corruption. That's where we stopped. But our biggest gold pops, mine personally, was 172k gold out of one single mono chest. One was 172k gold. And then I had a friend who was slightly higher than that. I think it was like 182k out of one mono chest. There seems to be really, really high variance in the gold that you get. Sometimes it's literally like 2000 and then all of a sudden like 180k pops out and it's like, huh? Like there's no consistency, which is very strange. That's one thing, but, it mostly just seems to come from the objective of the mono, like the whatever you kill the boss and the mono drops a ton of gold and then the chest and the mobs don't seem to drop anything. It's like still piles of 20. So I don't know if that was like the case before where like the mobs themselves were dropping more and that's the thing that they removed, or if they intended for all scaling of all forms of gold to be removed, or what the case was. But this is another thing where it's just kind of a question mark. We don't actually know what they intended there, I guess.
Yep. And so now you can talk about how you feel about gold being.
Yeah, like previous 1.0, the old gold sink was the Lightless Arbor. And now, of course, we have like the entire Merchant's Guild. It's like you are deeply, deeply.
Yeah, I The gold scaling is so strange to me because I feel like it's completely backwards. I think that there should be a better ratio of exalteds and uniques with LP. I really feel like if I'm at 3,000 corruption, which is crazy, I should really notice a difference between the like LP uniques that I'm getting. And I can't say honestly that I did. I noticed it like a little bit. I'm getting like some more 1 LP trash uniques, but it's really not noticeable. The thing you notice is, wow, 180K gold just came out of that monolith chest. And I don't think that pumping that like raw gold in the economy is necessarily healthy. I think that having like maybe the incentive be better uniques with higher LP and maybe more exalteds, like that kind of thing would be, I hope it would be a little bit more noticeable than it currently is.
I'm surprised to hear you say that. They said like they specifically added a new interaction where like you're supposed to get like better LP items when you get higher corruption.
I don't feel the difference.
You don't feel it either. If the 3,000 corruption person says they don't feel it, that's surprising.
I think I'm getting more 1 LP trash uniques. Like if a unique drops, it's very high chance that it's like 1 LP, but most uniques are trash. They're just garbage in terms of the
1 LP for me, I don't even pick up 1 LP.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like I'm never picking these up. And I honestly, just anecdotally, the things I notice in high corruption is the gold. It's the gold from the chest. It is wild. Huh. Then, like, I'd say, like, literally, I'd say like 50% of my income comes from selling T7s, and maybe like the other half is literally just raw gold out of the chest, which I think really shouldn't be a thing.
Should not be the case.
That should not be the case. So yeah, the people that are going 2,000, 3,000 corruption are just going to be pumping tons of gold into the economy, which I think is problematic. And I think is maybe why people are somewhat upset that some stuff like Profane Veil is able to push so high corruption, because it's going to be causing a lot of inflation because more gold is spawning out of the chest when you are able to push that high corruption.
They do have to think about that, sadly, now, because of the way that they've gone about it is like power does equal ruining the economy. If they're not careful, it will happen. Like if they don't be careful with it, like if this happens like every single launch, it will start getting to the point where it's like, well, I can't play anything that doesn't push like this much high corruption, because I wouldn't be gaining as much currency as the rest. So of course just go COF, right? But still,
Snap, like, how much have you come across the bind on sale part of Last Epoch, like you can only sell something one time instead of selling it multiple times? How's that felt for you?
I think it's actually a good thing for a lot of stuff. The one thing I will mention is like getting exalted bases to gamble on, I think is pretty cool in MG. Like if I see an exalted base, right, and I see it and I'm like, okay, this has 47 forging potential, like open prefix, like I can gamble on this base. And like, that's a really cool thing that I think you can interact with, right? I see that the exalted item, I buy it, it bricks, it doesn't get the stuff I wanted, the forging potential doesn't get eaten. And like, that's cool. I think, not being able to resell it, right? Because somebody could maybe take that and then try to slam it onto a 1 LP item, right? But, and I think it's keeping prices of exalted items quite high, especially for a lot of stuff. Yep. For example, Frostclaw relics plus 4 is like 5 mil or something crazy. Whereas, you know, if people were able to resell these, like their bricks, I think it would be a lot lower than that. So I think it is keeping the pricing of exalteds quite high. I think the thing that is somewhat prohibitive is the uniques. I think that the availability of certain uniques is a little bit too low for certain like rare stuff, like Red Rings specifically. They're just off the market like that instantly. And so if you're not sitting there just clicking refresh on the auction house, like getting some
exactly
of these,
exactly what they don't want, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that's just like one problem, is that it felt really good for the exalteds, and maybe a little less so for the uniques, but I don't think it's problematic one way or the other. I thought it felt really good overall for not being able to resell.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it too, because it means that these random exalted items I pick up off the ground still have value as long as they have decent mods, because someone
people
could gamble on it.
Yeah, they gamble on them. Yeah. The one thing I will mention though that's kind of tied to that is for multiplayer is the resonances, right? I think resonances are way, way, way too rare at the moment. Currently, the way resonances work is, I believe it is off of raw number of mob kills only and nothing else. I don't think corruption affects it. I don't think you're like the scaling of XP on corruption affects it, like nothing. It's simply just the number of mobs you kill. And it takes a extremely long amount of time to get the obsidian ones, which is the thing that allows you to trade either exalteds or LP. When I was doing normal monolith clears, right? And I was just, because in Monolith, you're not killing a ton. You're kind of rushing to the objective, right? It took about 7 or 8 hours of Monolith farming to get one. Remember, one single resonance.
He's playing a lot in a group and blasting. Okay, yeah. This is
And I'm blasting. Blasting, right? And I'm not killing it a lot because of the style of clear and monolith, but yeah, it's going to be taking 8 hours of like blasting monos to get your obsidian resonance. I think that's way too restrictive for a casual player. And right, you don't want to make it way too easy so that people can just use it as a form of trading. But for somebody like me, it didn't stop me from getting a 4LP chest, right? MP had a 4LP fundamental criterion that he crafted on, really sick item, and I was really glad to use it. And I got to borrow it because, you know, I took his support and we farmed together for literally like, you know, however many hours to get the obsidian resonance, and because it was such a sick and unique item, and that wasn't going to stop us. But at the same time, it feels so overly restrictive for the casual player that it's like really, really punishing that they're really never going to be able to get these items until like, I don't know, maybe 10 hours or so of farming, or 15, even if you're not super fast.
While you brought that up, by the way, you want to tell the class here how much you bought that 4LP, how much MP bought that 4LP fundamental criterion for, by the way?
It was 500K. The story of that is really funny because he actually logged on and he was looking for 3LP ones, because there was two that were listed for like 30 mil and like 50 mil, 3LP fundamentals. And then he was looking and he was just kind of looking at it. And there was one 4LP listed for 500K. And then he just clicked it and he was like, wait, is this, somebody really listed this for 500K? Like, nobody knows what the price of anything is. And I think because it's so hard and frustrating to price check stuff, people just kind of chuck stuff up for whatever, because they're not going to go and look what the price is because the UI and interface is so frustrating to interact with. And so if you're actually sitting there refreshing on the auction house, you're going to get some crazy stuff for cheap that just gets listed for unbelievably low prices because people cannot be asked to price check anything. That's kind of like a big problem, I think.
But yeah, you can continue on with the resonances. I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah. The resonances are definitely crazy. I think that they went way too far in the other direction to make it way too restrictive. It takes, if you're not a fast, efficient player, it's literally going to take you like 15 to 20 hours of monolith clearing to get one, a single resonance. Yeah.
And if you're a casual player in like 15 to 16 hours, that's like 4 or 5 or 6 play periods.
Something like that. That's, yeah, it's ridiculous.
That's like a week. You take one resonance. Yeah, like
to update the class here, the chat, to what the point of the resonance system was in the first place, was it was supposed to be a system where if you were playing with your buddy, which is probably already like talking to the casual audience here, who just wants to like, I just want to play with my wife or something, right? For a few hours every day. And if I'm playing while my wife is not online, and I drop a really good item for her build, and I can't trade it because you have to be in the same instance to trade it normally, unlike, you know, on like kind of like Diablo 3, right? And that's the resonance system is supposed to fix that. But the problem is, like Snap said, if a casual is playing that long, I don't think the term casual works anymore for it. So it's like, what is this system meant for? And it's like, the problem is now is, well, if they reduce it, they'll be like, well, now the RMTers can use it.
The hard system.
Right now, everyone can't use it.
Yeah.
Even Steph barely gets to use it.
the best way we found to farm them is to get an arena node, right? And you can leave right as it's about to complete. And so you do the arena node, and I'm sitting here one-shotting the whole screen over and over again with Antipode. Right. And it was literally 4 hours of standing there, one-shotting the screen of mobs over and over again to get a single resonance to get the chest traded over. And so, like, it's just ridiculous how restrictive it is currently. So, yeah, nobody is really using them right now. So that's like, yeah.
So that system definitely, I would say, needs to be revisited at one point eventually.
For sure.
Maybe there's some magic, like, bot or algorithm that calculates, like, how you've been. Like, people in chat, they're saying like, oh, I've got a bunch, I got an obsidian resonance. Well, it's like, in theory, the point of the system was to make it so that your friends could like get, you know, that your items that you like, that you were playing with offline, like Snap, like, did you feel like as though you could do that with your friends? Like, you were playing with them for a long amount of time. Like, Yeah. You feel like as though they're your friends? Like, do they count as your friends?
Yeah, of course. We're playing an unhealthy amount of hours, so we got to engage with the system a lot. Like, we're gifting each other stuff to slam at Jorah, right? Because we just had extra, but yeah, it's just way too restrictive for sure.
Yeah. Do you think, like, there's, like, some magic force that's, like, calculating everyone's friendship levels? Like, you've played with that long? Like...
I think it's literally raw number of mob kills, and there's just a little bit of randomness to it because it seems to drop like at the same time for people. One thing I actually want to pivot a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to hear your guys' thoughts on the arena key fiasco.
Oh my
God. what you thought of that whole thing.
Sure.
I'll let Perry go first.
Sure. So
it matters way more to him than me.
I mean, does it matter to me? Like, I'm playing a lot. I'm going to generate a lot of money anyways, but...
It matters to you more because you're actually in Seal.
You're absolutely... This is Merchant's Guild ruining the game for me. Yep, absolutely. Yeah. So what happened here is, like, we had a nice little commune going on, and we all shared food, and we all took care of each other, and then here comes capitalism ruining everything for us. So what the change was is there was like Merchant's Guild, and they felt... The people in Merchant's Guild apparently felt like they wanted to pivot to COF, farm the key prophecies in COF, get the keys, sell the keys, pivot back to Merchant's Guild, and use that money in Merchant's Guild. Which is, like, first of all, what the hell?
So I knew something like this was going to happen.
The outcome of this was people learned that the keys are a source of money, because there's a lot of players out there who don't realize that the arena keys... You don't use them for arena, you sell them because they're worth money, and that's how you get stash tabs. That's how the game's always worked. And the key is sold for like 5,000, like 7,500, which is a great way to get like a little bit of extra change. So because the Merchant's Guild gamers were pivoting like this and abusing this case to get more gold in the economy, they nerfed the price of the keys. So everyone who didn't know this already feels left out, and the people who did know about this feel like, what's really going on? So my opinion of it, I feel like it's really straightforward. They should
sadly, I agree with the person in chat here. As an MG player who's actually playing the game and actually doing well, the key thing was a complete meme. You didn't need that. You just sell some random idols and they sell for like 500k.
It's clear to me what they should have done. They should just take the key prophecy out of the prophecies. Well, because nobody in the world need a key from a prophecy.
As I was saying, though, the problem is, I believe what that one random chatter said is correct, is that I believe that this was a measure against RMT. Normal Merchant Skilled players were not using this. It was very inefficient for time. It means you have to rank up to rank... Really?
That's not true. I know Fubgun specifically was doing this because I boosted him to rank 10 MG. And so he had rank 10 COF and MG. It took like an hour and a half at 3000 corruption because the XP, but he was getting 5 mil raw gold per hour out of keys, which is ridiculous. That is ridiculous.
That does sound ridiculous.
That's a lot of gold.
It's just like, that definitely... It's just like the problem is, like you said, you'd have to get to rank 10 in G and rank 10 COF, and then like.
Well, do you though? In order to buy stuff, or
rank 7 and 8. I'm sorry for MG. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Well, that's in order to benefit for you as a player. But I mean, as you said, like somebody could technically switch over and then offload that gold by selling a rare to a friend or whoever, and that would be. Yeah. The main abuse case, but it was definitely problematic, and it was definitely like way more gold than you could farm like doing regular monoliths. I think this correct solution would probably to just be remove the prophecy.
Very, very easy. Yeah. Solution. So
yeah,
I don't know. That's my take on it.
Yeah. Like, why didn't they do that?
My problem is since they didn't remove the prophecy, it's like, who the hell is doing arena? Like, I feel like as though there's this, like, weird thing going around with the key thing. Like, do you really think we're going to use the keys in any other way? Like, do you think we're actually going to do arena?
as an addition, as my proposed change to the EHG, everything that gives a key, like all the Acro rewards that give a key, they should really just give a random key. they shouldn't give an arena key. It should be like random, like Soulfire Bastion or Temporal Sanctum. Like those are way more useful to the average player, especially now that they nerfed the price tag of everything. So, you know, just do that. We are sneaking up at an hour and a half here, and I want to toss in one more idea, and I'll get some input here from Snap. You've been playing this game since 0.9, you said, which was the multiplayer release. You've been here for Rune Master. You've been here for 1.0 now. I would like to know, what kind of unique item would you add to the game if you could add a unique item to the game? Maybe a multiplayer thing, maybe something to go with a Spellblade that you want to test out, maybe just like a better Humming Bee. What kind of thing are you interested in seeing implemented in Last Epoch?
I mean, my brain is going to like PoE and like what are like the really crazy uniques in PoE that I enjoy. And they're like something that would, something that, no, like, I don't even think it's like Headhunter. Like there's a lot of cool support items in PoE. I don't know. I think like it would be definitely a support item. I think that there's like cool support uniques in PoE, like aspect of the avian, like the chest, this kind of thing. It'd be like a some sort of thing that could buff your teammates for sure. I'm not like a developer. I'm like not great at designing stuff, but I think it'd be cool to see like more multiplayer focus, like uniques and design in the game, because I think it's a thing that's fun in RPGs.
Mentioning aspect of the avian, that reminds me of like maybe you'd use that as a way of updating set items to be like a little bit more diverse, like update or like maybe they give it a skill, maybe like buff the skill, or like having multiple pieces of gear there.
Yeah, actually, one thing that just came to my mind is the belt in PoE. I actually forget what it's called. There's a belt that makes it so your flasks apply to all your allies while you're linked together. And that was like a really cool item because you can, you know, get your flasks and like craft them up to be really crazy. And then you can like link all your teammates and give them the benefits. Like that's a really cool item, I think.
Interesting. And like we even have like a couple, like when you use a flask, you get like a defensive buff in the next 4 seconds. I'm thinking about like Grimoire, or what's the Grimoire called? Grimoire of something, something, something.
Necrotic Elixir.
Necrotic Elixirs. You could like use that and like give your belt modifiers to other enemies or to other allies. That does sound like a cool idea. Oh, there you go. Circle of Benevolence. Thank you, Twitch Chat. I appreciate that. Yeah. All right. Well, I think we're going to start wrapping it up then. Snap, thank you so much for taking your time out of your Friday evening, chatting with us for about an hour and a half about your 1.0.
It's been a lot of fun. Thank you for bringing me on.
Excellent. And Dread, thank you always for joining us here. Appreciate having you here. And then if you're watching this on YouTube or on Spotify after that, make sure to let us know where you're watching it. We'll make sure that your viewing experience is as good as possible. I am Perry the Pig. This was episode 43, and we'll see you next time. Have a good night.